Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
John chapter number 4, look with me in verse number 31. John chapter number 4, verse number 31, the Bible said this: "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat that to eat that you know not of. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, hath any of you brought him out to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." I like the way he said that right there. Said he wanted to finish the work that God put him in. Goes on to say in verse number 35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereof ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." Father, I love you tonight, and I pray, God, that you'd help us over the next few minutes. God, I pray that your will and way would be done, God. I pray, God, that you'd meet with us as only you can. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I forgot to say this. Let me just say this real quickly. I've had a few people ask me if that podcast is coming back. It is. It'll start back up a week from tomorrow, okay? And a week from tomorrow, matter of fact, Brother Jake's coming on that podcast with us, and he'll be on it each week with us. And man, the month of January is going to be awesome. The first episode in the month of January, we're going to be talking about dealing with a prodigal and how to love them, how to care for them, and try to get them back in church. And then the next episode, matter of fact, the next couple episodes is going to be on anxiety. And we've actually got a lady coming in from Farmer, North Carolina, that's going to school right now. I think I just died. And she's going to school right now to be a Christian counselor. And she's going to be coming in and doing a podcast with us on anxiety. And you're not going to want to miss that one. And it's going to be great. But anyway, here in John chapter number 4, I preached this morning here out of John chapter number 4. And I said this morning in the beginning of the service. I said over the next few weeks, I want to look into 3 or 4 different areas: prayer, engaging, sowing, and harvesting. I said this, I want to challenge us to pray because prayer changes things, amen? And we're the product of prayer tonight. I want to challenge us to engage our community. And I'm going to say a lot more about that after service tonight, and to become an external church and not just an internal church, amen? I want to challenge us to sow the seed of the gospel, amen? Anywhere we go this year, to sow the seed of the gospel. And then finally, if we'll do these things, we better get ready for a harvest, because God will send a harvest. Amen. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with him, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen. And I thought about this today. You know what the farmer does whenever his barns gets full? He builds bigger barns. And you know what we've started doing? We've started building a bigger barn to put the harvest in, amen? Because I believe God is going to send a harvest in due season, which is our theme of this year. It's a year I really believe that we are going to see due season. We looked at the contrast in chapter 3 and chapter 4 of John. As he talks about Nicodemus in chapter 3. Nicodemus is named. The woman is not named in chapter number 4. Nicodemus was a man in chapter 3. It's a woman in chapter 4. It's a man, we could say this, a man of morals in chapter 3, an immoral person in chapter number 4. There's a lot of contrast there, and here's what it is showing us in chapter 3. In chapter 4, it is showing verse 16 of chapter 3. True, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, salvation is for whosoever today. And we can see that in these conquests or in these contrasts between these two. This morning I began preaching on this thought, God demonstrating, or Jesus demonstrating, the plan of God and how evangelizing works throughout the scripture. We see this principle all throughout the New Testament, of one person sowing, another person reaping, and a harvest being brought in. We see that, and God begins to demonstrate to us, or Jesus does, on how to reach our community with the gospel. Number one, we looked at this. Jesus embraced the unwanted. He embraced the unwanted. We talked about who this lady was. She was a lady of Samaria, and how the Jews had nothing to do with them, but Jesus embraced the unwanted. We talked about this. Jesus engaged the unlikely. He just didn't say he was going to do something, but he went there. He sat down at the well with her. He had a conversation with her, and her life was eternally changed. He engaged the unlikely. You know what it's our place to do tonight? It's our place to engage the unlikely. Even though they may not look like us, even though they may not smell like us, even though they may not act like us, there's still a soul for whom Jesus gave his life for, and we should engage the unlikely. We should embrace the unwanted. But then Jesus exposed the unexpected. Jesus exposed the unsuspected. You said, preacher, what do you mean? He looked at her and said, you have well said that you're not married, or that you don't have a husband, but you've had five husbands, and the man you're with right now is not your husband. Jesus just told her her problem. And you know what? Today we do serve a God of love, and I'm thankful for that. We do serve a God of forgiveness tonight. But you know what they need to know? They need to know right's right and wrong's wrong. Amen. They need to know that Jesus loves them and will forgive them if they'll turn from their sins and seek his face, or they'll die and go to eternal hell one day. And Jesus exposed that to her. So this morning we see God's plan demonstrated. But tonight in these verses I've just read to you, I want you to see God's plan delegated. God's plan was delegated out. And let's look at this tonight. Number one, and follow with me quickly for the sake of time. This task that we have of reaching our community with the gospel of Christ. Number one, I would say this. This is an essential task. It is an essential task. You said, preacher, what do you mean by that? We've got to do it. We've got to do it. It's not something that we sit around and just pray about. It's not something that we just sit around and talk about. It's essential that we get the job done. Can I tell you something tonight? The day is coming when no man can work. The day is coming that Jesus is going to call us home to be with him. This could very well be the year that the Lord comes back. Man, when you study the Word of God and the way the times are today, there's nothing left to happen for Jesus to come back. This could be the year, and until he comes, may we find ourselves understanding that it is essential that we give the gospel out. Notice what the Bible said in verse number 32. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him out to eat? Verse number 34 says this, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Now, whenever you study this out, and whenever you read after some historians, and you read after commentators, scriptures. It talks about the area that they was in. It talks about when the time of the year could have been. And they could have very well have been looking out on a field that was ready to be harvested. You know what? Look around tonight at the world. It is a field that is ready to be harvested. You know what? I thought about this, and Brother Aaron and I will talk more about this on Thursday night in a planning meeting. But anyway, we talked about this a little bit, our van ministry, and that's something I'm going to talk about at the end. But you know what I thought about this? I was coming up the road the other day, and just right over here on Crossroads Church Road was four or five kids running around out in front of a little trailer. And I thought, man, you know what? I bet those kids right there might would come to church if somebody would just go get them. It's essential. The fields are white unto harvest. You know what? There's some people that will come to church if somebody will just knock on their door. There's some people that'll get saved if somebody would just tell them that Jesus loves them, that Jesus will change their life. The answer to every problem that they have, the answer to every issue that they have, the answer to every issue I have, and every issue that you have, is a man by the name of Jesus Christ. And it is essential that we give the gospel to them. I thought about this. After they offered Jesus some of the food from the grocery store, Jesus said, "What you saw me doing is food for my soul and drink for my thirst." I thought about this. Don't miss the truth in this. Jesus is saying, I'm not quoting out of the Bible, just think about this. Jesus is saying this: do not say that there's still 4 months to go do something. Go do it right now. Do not say I'll do it tomorrow. Go do it right now. Don't say, well, when the weather breaks, we'll tell them about Jesus. No, we do it right now. People's lives and souls are hanging in the balance. You and I are God's plan A, and there is no plan B. Can I say that again? You and I are God's plan A, and there is no plan B. Romans 10 says this: how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach except he be sent? It's essential tonight. It's essential tonight that we get the gospel out. Number one, this is an essential task. This generation of saints will give an account for this generation of sinners. I'll not give an account for the generation of sinners that Moody preached to, but I will give an account to the generation that I preach to. Number one, it's an essential task. Number two, it's an exciting task. It's an exciting task. Look in verse number 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Can I say something to you tonight? It is an exciting task of giving the gospel out. There's nothing no more exciting, hear me and hear me well, than seeing somebody bow their head and confess their sins to God and ask Jesus to forgive them of their sins and come into their heart and save them. If you've ever led somebody to the Lord, you understand what I'm saying. Boy, I was thinking about this as I studying this week in 2016, and it's a year that we'll always talk about. But in 2016, in 4.5 to 5 weeks, we saw over 200 people get saved. Boy, I'll never forget them nights standing up there on that great big platform under that big tent with thousands of people sitting there watching them one right after another after another. And our workers would grab them and work in the altar with them. And there was times that our workers was working with them, all of us as the directors of Foothills was working with people. And man, one would get saved and we'd stand up and shout, and here'd come a running another one down. And we'd kneel down in the altar with them and show them how to be saved, and another one would come and another one would come. There's nothing no more exciting in all of this world than to get somebody on your heart and pray for them and beg God to save them and change their life, and then see God do what you ask him to do. It's an exciting task of spreading the gospel. It's exciting tonight. He said, look, boys, the fields are white unto harvest. I'll say something to you tonight. How many people's going to be in heaven because of you? Because you led them to the Lord, because you prayed for them, because you witnessed to them. Are you hearing me tonight? It's an exciting task. It's an exciting task. I say this again, and I'm going to move, but if you've ever led anybody to the Lord, you understand what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying. Many, it wasn't long ago, I was with some of them in the jail. I walked over there, an old guy I began to talk to, and he had raised his hand, he is lost, and I walked over there and began to talk to him, and I'm not in all this easy believism. You believe this, 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 pray after me, you're saved. I'm not into that. Hey, if the Spirit of God's not drawing them, I believe if the Spirit of God's drawing them, the Spirit of God will speak to my heart and nudge my heart too. Amen. Boy, Brother Jake, I began to walk down through the scriptures with him, and tears swelled up in his eyes, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "do you really think God will save me?" I said, "No, sir, I don't think it. I know according to his word, he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I watched that old boy behind that block, Brother Jeff, behind that big door, looking through that little food trap. I watched him bow his head with tears running down his eyes and ask God to come into his heart and save him. Man, you want to talk about exciting? If you don't get excited when people's getting saved, then something's wrong. You probably need to get saved. That don't excite you. It's an essential task. It's an exciting task. But I thought about this in closing tonight. It's an everybody task. Everybody. Everybody can get in on this. You say, "Preacher, I can't walk up a street." You know what you can do? "Lord, you know them people from my church is out visiting right now. Lord, you know where they're at. God, you know what street they're on tonight. God, I pray that you'd go over there on Round Peak Church Road. God, may you, through the work of the Holy Spirit, go up and down Round Peak Church Road and convict some sinners tonight." It's an everybody task. Look what he said in verse 36. "And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal." Watch this. "That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are not entered into their labors." You know what he was saying? He was saying, you know what, there's been times, and I had trouble with this when I first started pastoring. I first started pastoring, man, Brother Robert, I'd preach. It seemed like nobody'd get saved, and we'd have revival, and two or three get saved while somebody else was preaching. And boy, I'd get mad about it. I'd think, well, I preached the same thing. I said practically the same words. You know what was happening? I'd plowed the ground up. You know what had happened on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? I'd throw out some seeds. And I'd come back by and I'd throw out some fertilizer on it. You know what we'd do? We'd pray over it and throw some water on that. And you know what happened? Somebody else came in and done what they were supposed to do. And that individual went to the altar and got saved. The main thing is this: they got saved. That's the main thing. And you know who's going to reap the harvest over it? All of us is. What did Nehemiah say? Nehemiah said this. He said, "Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem." He said, "Let us do it." Nehemiah never said, "I can do this." He said, "Come, let us build up the wall." He said in chapter number 6, "For built we the wall, and the wall was finished in 52 days. You know what he was saying? He said, it took everybody. I thought about this. I've been preaching it now for a month. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 1. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." Amen. I thought about this. What did the Bible say in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9? "And let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season, what? We shall reap if we faint not." So, preacher, what are you saying tonight? I'm saying this. This task of reaching our community with the gospel of Christ, can I say this to you? It's an essential task. We've got to do it. If we don't do it, we miss the command of the Word of God. It's essential. Can I say this? It's exciting, man. It's exciting. I love it. It's exciting. I every Sunday morning, as I walk down through the Sunday school classes, I've said this many times, my favorite one to go in is the smallest kids, Miss Rhonda, Miss Tina's class. And it never fails. This morning, Graylin kicked her seat back and took off running across that classroom. And before I could even notice it, she'd done jump, and I was trying to catch her in midair. And you know what? Can I tell you something? It's exciting, man. It's exciting. You say, Preach, what are you? You're investing in lives. You're pouring your life out into somebody else's. It's exciting. But can I say this? It's for everybody tonight. Everybody has an opportunity to do it. In chapter number 4 of John, we see God's plan demonstrated. We see God's plan delegated. But next Sunday, we'll see God's plan deployed. God's plan was deployed. Going into town, she gives a clear invitation. An authentic and a clear invitation brought out a curious delegation. When people saw who Jesus really was, it brought a certain salvation. Are you hearing me tonight? That's the plan God has for us to reach our community. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.